This is Ryan Dawson on the Anti-Neocon Report. Today with me, a repeat guest, is Brad Hoff from the LevantReport.com. He's written another article about an ISIS leader who was also a Chechen fighter and a leader who's been on the American payroll for quite some time. But I want to get into some background. Brad and I talked about the infamous DIA reports the last time he was on the show, and we did not get to talk about Mr. Flynn and what was going on there. So I want to talk about Syria and Chechnya and the United States. Well, not Chechnya, but Chechen fighters and how this all connects. So Brad, welcome back. I hope you have time to go over all this with us again today.
Sure, thanks for having me back on, Rye.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've written a nice piece here once again on the Levant Report and with Redbeard. But before we get into the Chechen connections, I wanted to talk about Mr. Flynn and his admissions. Well, I'll let you do it. What's happened there?
Sure, so this last summer in July, Al Jazeera's Mehdi Hassan landed an interview in Al Jazeera's Washington, D.C. studios with the former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, Michael Flynn. And for some of your listeners, DIA might not be as recognizable a name as CIA. And when I talk to people, I find they often don't know what the DIA is. But in my understanding, it has an even bigger, I think, at least public budget that's on the books than the CIA. But think of the DIA as basically the DoD's, internal CIA, right? It's like the CIA of the Pentagon. They do have their own fancy, shiny building, I think, in Maryland. So the DIA is basically Army Intelligence or United DoD Joint, all the military branches, their intel flows through there. So Michael Flynn was head of the Defense Intelligence Agency in 2012, and he took the helm not long before the 2012 famous Salafist Principality report was written, which predicted that U.S. support for the rebels would be tantamount to U.S. supporting an Islamic State in eastern Syria and western Iraq, which is exactly what happened.
which
And
included Al Qaeda, and they knew that.
exactly, yeah, they spelled out in no uncertain terms. And so I was surprised. I mean, the argument from the beginning for people that push back against this report, basically they said, oh, it's not important. It was probably written by two or three guys in a basement of the Pentagon and no one ever saw it. That was the
Nope.
main argument.
Yeah.
Yeah, the main argument was these reports are a dime a dozen. They're all floating around Washington, and just because it was written, it doesn't mean it was important. And yeah, and much of the time that's likely true. But in this Al Jazeera interview this summer, which aired on Al Jazeera International, Mehdi Hassan is sitting there with the 2012 DIA report predicting the rise of ISIS in hand, and he's holding it up and asking the very head of the organization that produced it at the time, did you see this? Was it important? He said yes, it was on his desk. He read it very carefully, and he actually used it to talk about Syria, talk about rebels with the White House. So we know it reached highest levels of importance, as I and others reported early last summer, and so it's confirmation. And he even told Mehdi Hassan this was a willful decision. Let me go ahead and read the key lines. Hassan asks Flynn, so you're basically saying that even in government at the time, you knew these groups were around, that is Al Qaeda. You saw this analysis and you were arguing against it, but who wasn't listening? Flynn says, I think the administration, right? He says the White House. And so interestingly, Hassan kind of gives him a way out. This is what I found most fascinating about the interview. Hassan gives him a way out, a way to say, oh, this is just unintended consequences, right? So
Yeah,
Hassan's
the go
next,
to, yeah.
Hassan's next question is, so the administration turned a blind eye to your analysis? Flynn says, I don't know that they turned a blind eye. I think it was a decision. I think it was a willful decision. And then Hassan says, a willful decision to support an insurgency that had Salafists, Al-Qaeda, and the Muslim Brotherhood. Flynn says, it was a willful decision to do what they're doing. And if people out there haven't watched this Al Jazeera interview, they can find it on Levant Report and other places, right, or they can just Google it. This is an amazing interview because we have like
quite a long interview too. I mean, he really grills them on it, and
yeah,
there's just no excuse for it. But the thing is, a point I'd like to bring up is when he said, "What you mean it was a willful decision to support Al Qaeda? We did it before."
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And of course, Mehdi Hassan has the document in hand. And so,
of course, this one is, you mean it was a willful decision to support Al Qaeda after 9/11?
Right. Exactly. It's
a little bit worse, but yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And yeah, it's there's a strange psychology going on here because, as you might also remember, you know, living here in the United States, you know, I mean, that's all we heard about for a decade. Al Qaeda, Al Qaeda, Al Qaeda, right? It was the scary boogeyman. But now that we have ISIS,
they had color-coded terror alerts. Remember those?
No, exactly, exactly.
It was like, we're on orange today.
Right, but amazingly, it's now become almost commonplace. It's now a kind of respectable decision or perspective in D.C. to actually say, well, you know, Al Qaeda might be more moderate than ISIS, and maybe we can work with them. And of course,
generals. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, Petraeus. Go ahead. Yeah, Petraeus recently came out very publicly, vocally saying, yeah, we have to work with Al-Qaeda in Syria. And
unbelievable.
Yeah, and so what people have to realize is that this 2012 DIA memo, if they really understand history, I mean, like the history you cover on your show, right, going back to the Soviet-Afghan War and through the 90s and after 9/11, you know, they have to realize this isn't so radical or extreme a revelation. There's an institutional element to it, and so for people that know this history, when they see the DIA memo, even though it proves what a lot of us have been saying for years, that the U.S. will very willingly work with groups like Al Qaeda if it means toppling people like Assad or Iran. Right? It's historically we've done a lot of that. And so, yeah, everyone needs to go back and watch this Al Jazeera interview. Go to this especially 5-minute clip where he's talking about the DIA memo, because to my knowledge, it's really the highest level in terms of an insider intelligence official or former official confirming that we shipped weapons to Al Qaeda, to other extremists, to those that would form the core of ISIS. Throughout the Syrian conflict from really nearly the beginning. Because think about it. This is August 2012 when this memo was written saying that the West is essentially backing an Islamic State, or the groups that would go on to form Islamic State in the proper noun sense.
They actually said this is exactly what we desire. Like, this is exactly what we want. Because Assad was enemy number one, and they don't care about the terrorists and the terrorist activities, the killing babies, cutting off heads, eating organs, all of that. And I'd point out, too, that even when they were financing the FSA, the differences between the FSA and ISIS aren't very great. I mean, the FSA committed all the same acts of terror. They just weren't as good at it. But they had no problem murdering civilians and using sarin gas. This is another thing. They used sarin gas on multiple occasions and got busted
right
on it. And then when there's a third or fourth sarin gas attack, they go, ah, it's Assad. And
right,
just ignored all the times the FSA had done it and been busted doing it. They just ignored it.
Well, as you know, the FSA has always been more of a label, a kind of branding campaign than
right,
a reality
yeah
on the ground. And, you know, as we're going to discuss with Omar al-Shashani, in short, just my last thoughts on General Flynn. Yeah, to my knowledge, I've never seen as high an official grilled over this issue in such a, you know, frank and open manner. And of course, he's retired. He was essentially forced out. And he is a war hawk. He's a hawk. He's not some, you know, make no mistake, he's not some good guy. He's a hawk, and he's part of the problem. but he's also being very honest and frank in this interview. And after all of his admissions, where he's basically saying, yeah, we knew the FSA and the rebel guys in Syria were all Al-Qaeda, and we knew that they wanted an Islamic State, and we were essentially supporting that, in effect, by giving them weapons and money and political support. Mehdi Hassan corners him, and he says, look, well, you were the top military intel guy. Why did you allow this to happen? Right. Why did you do it? And he says, well, I hate to say it, it's not my job. He, you know, the Nuremberg defense, right? Uh-huh. I hate to say it's not my job. I was following orders. You know, to some extent, that's true. The intel guys don't make policy. But at the same time, you know, there is such a thing as lawful or unlawful orders. It doesn't matter who, it doesn't matter who tells you, you need to go, give money or weapons to that terrorist. According to U.S. anti-terror laws, and I'd say the Constitution, you're not allowed to do that. It doesn't matter who orders you to do that. You can't over.
I mean, I agree, but the problem is we do it so often, and Al-Qaeda is sort of the famous terrorist group because they're associated with 9/11.
Right.
But and some embassy bombings and things, but the United States has been funding MEK, Jandala. They work with M23 rebels. They
right.
work with Mexican drug cartels. Of course, there's the infamous Contras during Iran-Contra, which had child soldiers murder, killed American journalists, threw kids in volcanoes. I mean, you can't even, it's hard to make up stuff more extreme than what they did, and rape, and just, and it was all done in secret. And it's very similar to ISIS in a way, because ISIS killed a couple American journalists. Iran-Contra killed an American journalist on film, which is what turned the public against them. And yet, the whole time when we were saying, oh, we're not helping the Contras, they were getting their guns and their money and everything from the United States through illegal arms sales. And then we found out later also through illegal narcotic sales. And with
exactly.
ISIS, everything I just said, the same.
Right. And, you know, and I think Mehdi Hassan's interview with Flynn, as well as the DIA document itself, you know, these things are important essentially, I think, for kind of waking up the public, right? I think it's kind of about getting this information to your just average middle America Joe or, you know, the rest of the world who may not have an awareness of all this history of intelligence activities in the deep state and so on. And so I think, you know, I think this is a very, as Obama always says, a teachable moment. Or this
well, yeah,
is something
like
that
getting,
should be spread far and wide. Right.
It's like getting Ollie North or Poindexter to say, yeah, we did that. I mean, it's like,
exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Some people just can't get it until, you know, somebody in a uniform looks at the camera and says, yes, it was me. You know?
Well, I was disappointed that it wasn't run on Al Jazeera America. This program this summer was actually hard to access, basically only if you were in the United States. It was being through Al Jazeera's, I want to say Al Jazeera's official YouTube channel, it was actually being geo-blocked in the United States. And I was in contact with one of Al Jazeera's producers, and she told me, this is an amazing interview, and we're having trouble, you know, even letting Americans see it. I mean, she herself was not, she's not part of the, you know, the higher levels of Al Jazeera that makes these decisions. And so she was telling me, look, we're sorry. We hope we're trying to get it run in Al Jazeera America. But it's just might happen. And then right now it's basically blocked. And thankfully someone in, I guess another country did upload the full thing on YouTube. And,
yeah,
I was actually, yeah. I was actually surprised that it wasn't blocked through copyright or something like that. But yeah, there's various places you can access it. I don't know that if in the United States, even now, you can watch the whole thing on Al Jazeera's website. And the rest
Japan
of the
Japan is one of them where you can watch it. And I
right.
put a copy on Vimeo as well.
Okay, well, that's good. Good.
If you're in America and it says blocked in your country or something, you can go to Vimeo and check
well,
it out. I'll
and,
give you
and,
that so you can add the little link under your...
Well, and after this interview where Flynn gives total confirmation, validates the importance of this document and its context, contents, basically saying that the West and America fueled the rise of Islamic State. Even after all this, it actually wasn't, it really got no play in mainstream media. I think it's, I want to say it's either Business Insider or International Business Times, one of those big financial journals. They did a write-up on it. They completely, they completely cut out all of his confirmations of the 2012 report. They really just tried to sanitize it. I mean, when these big media outlets wrote articles on the DIA report in the first place, a lot of them just sort of softened it, saying, "Oh, it meant we had some awareness of ISIS in 2012, that this is a possibility." But if you read the memo itself, it goes way beyond that.
Right. Well, again, looking at history, if you looked at the people reporting on Iran-Contra early on, it was a big whitewashing and stuff. But eventually, they were forced to eat it because they were dead wrong about all of it. I mean, it was too big to hide. And a plane crashed
right.
with guns, so there was no hiding after that.
Well, but the Al Jazeera years, interview should be that moment. Yeah, absolutely.
It should have been. It should have been like that. The plane just crashed. I mean, that's what that was. But
right.
And Mike Flynn was telling us everything. But
well, we
like
you know
said,
we
like
kind of had
watch, the fact that you have to watch it on YouTube or something is sad.
Right.
It should have been prime time.
Well, just this last week, we kind of had one of these moments. If you saw the Pentagon waffling on whether it's, dozen or so rebels actually gave American-trained rebels sent into Syria actually gave their weapons over to al-Nusra Front, al-Qaeda in Syria. Basically the Pentagon, I guess, within the last couple of days finally admitted, our new DOD-trained rebels handed their weapons over to al-Nusra Front for the sake of safe passage and an alliance. And so
the CIA's rebels have been doing that, so.
No, of course, and that's of course the whitewash that's going on now. Everyone sort of forgot about the much more massive covert CIA program.
Thousands, I mean,
it probably maybe tens 10, of thousands,
yeah,
right, basically. Mm-hmm. the current core of the Islamic State essentially, because if you look at the map of rebel territory, that is all there is. People don't realize that. They still speak of some kind of mythical moderate FSA group on the ground. The FSA guys are all in Turkish resorts, talking to news media. If you look at a map of actual territory, rebel-controlled territory, which is actually a lot of it's desert, but it's basically Islamic State. It's ISIS, and it's al-Nusra Front. Pick your choice. Take your choice.
Pick your poison, right?
Exactly.
Well, I want to talk to you about the airbase battle, Mina or Migna or whatever, and how the FSA was failing there until basically these Chechen fighters come over with Redbeard Omar al-Shishani and I guess sent enough suicide waves or what have you and took the airbase, because pro-war hawks were even bragging about this, the tactics of it, and these guys are sitting there giving long interviews on TV. And it's amazing to me that they get to air their speeches, and it's just something else. But explain the connection between these Chechen rebels, which are American financed, that's not a secret, and ISIS.
Right. So I was inspired to do some new reporting on this the week that McClatchy News Bureau ran stories about how Omar al-Shashani had been, when he was in the Georgian army. I mean, we've known for a while, he had been in the Georgian army. What was new about McClatchy's reporting was that he had been trained by U.S. Special Forces from 2006 on. And so there was one week when those stories were prominent in the mainstream media. And, that's when I started, remembering some videos that I had researched, some source video material that's much of it still remains untranslated, that I saw, showing all these victory speeches given after the long siege of Mina Air Base and the rebel victory there. Combined with that, I picked up this new book that was published in 2015. By a freelance journalist that's written for various major outlets like the New York Times. His name is Benjamin Hall, and he wrote a book called Inside ISIS. I do not recommend this book. It's not a very good book. It's not even well written. And the author has pro-rebel sympathies throughout the book, even while acknowledging that, you know, ISIS is present all throughout the rebel groups.
I think the full title is Inside ISIS, The Brutal Rise of a Terrorist Army, and yet
right. Yeah.
He cheerleads the whole time. So
yeah, it's not even a very good book. It's basically, yeah, a guy that it's impressive that he was embedded in northern Syria throughout 2012, 2013. Yeah, very dangerous, but I mean, he writes a book just based on that fact, and it's not very good. But what is revelatory about it is he does devote a whole chapter to his experience of the siege of Mina Air Base. And so he was actually there for much of the siege, and he describes that the turning point was when Omar the Chechen and his band of Chechen jihadis showed up. And it wasn't some kind of thing where there's some kind of ideological conflict where there's supposedly some argument about democracy and the FSA guys want a pluralistic American-style republic. No, no, he was praised, he was welcomed, he was celebrated by the U.S.-funded, U.S.-backed FSA guys. And he not only, you know, just seamlessly entered the command structure, which at that time was the Supreme Military Council of Aleppo. Not only did he enter the official FSA U.S.-backed structure, but he basically had a command role right alongside State Department-supported FSA Colonel Okaidi, who we've talked about before. And so, Benjamin Hall describes that it's Omar al-Shashani and his suicide bombers that made all the difference. This was the all-star team that showed up and turned the tide of battle. And of course, some of the video I linked to in my article shows Robert Ford standing right alongside Colonel Okaidi, and other footage, it's Colonel Okaidi standing right alongside some of Omar the Chechen's band of Islamic State or ISIS, Al Qaeda in Iraq, and as well as Caucasus fighters.
I liked your fighting timeline of six pictures thing. I mean,
right. Yeah, that was actually done by a guy, I think his name is Rick Sterling. He's the founder of the Syrian Solidarity Movement.
Right.
Yeah, that's something underreported too, is that Illinois Congressman, I want to say it's Adam Kinzinger, actually went and met with this same FSA Colonel Okaidi in 2014 in Turkey. CNN covered it. And Okaidi was a guy filmed essentially commanding ISIS fighters at the siege of Mina Air Base in 2013. And yet he's hanging out with U.S. congressmen and no one's raising a stink about it.
Well, that's it for the free interview. Sign up to ANC Report, please, monthly subscribers, and get the rest of this interview and more, and archives of all the interviews that have ever been done, videos, etc. The Empire Unmasked is going to be out in a couple weeks, being screened in Los Angeles. Very excited. If you're in the area, please come out to the screening there. And we can also get you your DVDs if you're in the LA area. Going to be a little bit more before it's available to the public. We want to get this screening, get some feedback, do it all right. Brad Hoff is on the Levant Report. Please check that out. And there's also a video below from Michael Flynn on Al Jazeera. I highly recommend watching that entire thing as well. It's very eye-opening. Catch you next time on ANCReport.com.